Okay, let's pick it back up again at 1 Corinthians. We left off at chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 18.
18 is where we started last week, and that's where we're going to start this week.
Here we jump to a different role.
Okay. Right, we'll start at verse 18. After the tomatoes have been thrown.
No.
That's quite all right.
Silly.
As long as we see fornication.
That's right. And as we found out last week, where Paul is, despite our liberty, the Corinthians tried to at least get the historical. He's writing to the Corinthians, and their liberty that they had in Christ, their freedom that they had in Christ, even with that, he still said that there are some things that they can do that were not expedient. Some things that they would do that were not beneficial, not just for them, but for the body as a whole. You know, if the body is to edify itself in love, that would mean that each part, as Paul says in Ephesians, each part will have to effectually work, or work effectually. That is, they would have to supply everything that they had or have. You know, that's like, I think we were just talking about Frank had a, you know, if he had a stroke, something in his body was not working effectually. And the benefits or the consequences, you'll see that maybe, you know, something won't work properly. And if that's the case with your human body, that's why Paul uses the analogy of the body, is if something goes wrong in the body, you feel it. And you try to address that issue, don't you? You don't just let it go. And Paul's saying that there's the things that you're doing, they aren't expedient. They aren't edifying for the body. They don't build the body up. It's tearing the body down. And there were some Corinthians who were acting selfishly, carnally. And he says in verse, we know about the fornication that was going on there, and he says in verse 16, he says, "What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." And he's talking about the unity there. Now, we know that part, don't we? We know that if two are joined together physically, they become one flesh. But did they know that when you are joined to the Lord, you become one spirit?
Is that the unity of the one man that would parallel what Israel will be with the Lord as the bride in the future? Is that a parallel?
He's using the principle. The principle is the same, or two become one flesh.
Right. In other words, we're his body, and there will be his bride. But what we have now, they have to wait for. That's what I'm trying to understand, is this unity of the one spirit. Is that the parallel? Because they don't have, their union has not consummated. We are baptized into the body. We have the consummation. And that's what I'm trying to understand. Is that the parallel?
He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Right. He says in first chapter 12, it's in Corinthians, he says that we're not that far yet, but he says we've all been baptized by one spirit into one body, and we've all been made to drink into one spirit. Our benefit comes from that.
That verse is in 1 Corinthians 12.
Yeah, what did I say?
You didn't say. I just offered it up.
Okay. Okay. But but the point is the unity. You know, I can't get bogged down, but just keeping in mind that the unity, when you're joined to the Lord by faith, you become one spirit with the Lord. He's in you. You're in him. The Holy Spirit, I think he talked about that in Romans, is if the Spirit of Christ dwell in you, he is in there, right? Mm-hmm. He says that's who we are debtor to. We're a debtor to him, that he's dwelling in. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, isn't that, to me, that's a great, that's, you can just embrace that. Just to know that the Spirit is in you, and it's an irrevocable gift. He won't take it back, no matter how you behave. That's why he had to raise a question. They were behaving badly, weren't they? Mm-hmm. And he says, wait a minute, don't you know this? When you said, I trust him, that you became one with who? One what? One spirit. And just so happens that he calls his spirit what?
Not sure where you know.
The Holy Spirit. No, it wasn't a trick. And holy means what?
Set apart.
So we're to behave what? The Corinthians word, he says, this is not consistent with who you are. He says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. How's that?
He violated the exclusivity
and devalued herself.
She changed.
She
used notes. I wrote it
down. Oh.
She used notes.
Oh, well, did we say that last week?
Yeah.
I was enlightened.
I thought you... Okay. Say that again.
You violated the exclusivity and devalued yourself.
You violated the exclusivity and violated yourself.
Wait, Ed said it was you stained it.
Remember that? Yeah, you stained it. Stained the relationship.
So, you know what? In other words... You stepped out on the Lord. You know, and I think we did. We covered those verses that the reason that he even created man was as a helper, fellowship, to be used by the Lord. And the reason the Lord created the woman was for the man, as a helper, for fellowship.
And reproduction.
For his purpose.
Right.
And just think, now the Lord could have just made the reproduction process mechanical. Well, it is mechanical, but he could have made it mechanical with no benefits. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he wanted to relay the joy that you should have being joined to the Lord. He duplicated that on a physical scale in you, in us. Is that making sense? Okay. I can't get any baser than that. But, so you think about it, is when he, that's why he said at the very back in Genesis, for this cause. For what cause? All right. Genesis.
Oh, that cause.
Genesis.
Man shall leave mother and father.
For what cause? Oh, look at Genesis. That's right. Annette, you're right. But he said something before that too. Genesis chapter 3.
This week I was studying all the instances of the phrase "for this cause" found in Scripture. That's what
did you get that one?
I didn't know, you
didn't go back far enough?
I didn't know which for cause to ask.
Oh. He says in chapter 1, chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Excuse me. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now, after God had brought the animals to Adam, he evaluated, then he brought them to him in pairs. The logical, he says, they've got one, they've got one, they've got one. What about me? And God didn't know. It's not good that he should work alone. I will make him a help meet, fit, suitable, apt, able, equipped to help him. See, deep sleep. And out of his flesh, he brings a woman. Know the word, he said he made the woman. You know what? In the original language is, you can see the physical differences, right? Mm-hmm. He built her. That's exactly what it means. He built her. He built a woman just for Adam. And they didn't look the same. Male and female, that goes back to what he says when he talks about when you quoted the verse about the exclusivity, and you violated the exclusivity and devalued yourself. So when you see what God had made for Adam. And like Karen did mention that, the very purpose for her was for reproduction.
How else would they subdue the planet?
Look at the big picture. He could have raised up rocks and made a population. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But he chose this. He chose to make a woman for Adam. He chose to build her physically the way that he would enjoy. He chose to pull her out of him. And yet, he's completely relying on her also.
And make them a pair.
Yeah.
They have to do what?
Come together.
They have to come together to what? To work together. So, you know what? And it goes all the way. It's not just he made them what? He made them
male?
Yeah, male and female, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
They became what?
Husband.
Husband and wife. And Christ says what? I'm talking about
Christ in the church.
And your point, he said this, he says you got You have a vehicle for heaven, a vehicle on earth that will come together one day. Mm-hmm. You have the Christ and the church that will come together. We are together. Mm-hmm. You have a husband and a wife that what? You have male, female come together. Mm-hmm. And they all do what?
Work together.
They all work together. This reproduces. That reproduces. That reproduces. We don't know what's going to happen out there. But you can make an assumption. It'll be productive. Right. So, he made her for him. Isn't God gracious? Mm-hmm. And instead of when you get to Romans, instead of us glorifying God for what he's done, they did what? They refused to retain him in their knowledge. And the first thing they did was took the very process that he provided and exchanged it. What happens to his purpose?
It disappears.
It's done.
Stops in
its track. It's done. stops in its track. You know what's interesting? Well, you know what? We'll leave that alone. Well, let's go back to Corinthians.
Yes.
maybe next time. Maybe some other time. That's we'll never get past chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth without the body, every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. When you realize the purpose of this body and how it fits in God's purpose and plan and his equation, then you would be glad to glorify him in your body. Would you not? Mm-hmm. And even to take, if you took your body and use it for fornication and not for the Lord, then you take the male-female relationship and you exploit it. You notice right after Adam and Eve, they begin to have their children. Right after that, you find that Satan comes in and he begins to fool with this process. And then you find a man named Lamech. And he does what? He gets two wives. Why? Why does he do that?
The balance is now.
He said, for this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they too shall be what?
One.
So he wanted to fornicate legally.
He wanted, in his law, in his mind. But if God says you get one, he says, if he takes that process and his wicked self, he begins to do what? Spread his?
He's destroyed everything.
That's his doing.
Yeah.
They think about this. When Moses went up against Jannes and Jambres, mm-hmm. they began to do what?
They were imitating
what God was doing. They were duplicating it. Mm-hmm. And you had Moses, and you had Jannes
and
Jambres. And they did everything that he did. Almost everything. But it was fighting against God, not with God. Mm-hmm. When Lamech took his wives, it wasn't in obedience to God's process. It was in disobedience to his process. The same way when he told Cain to be a wanderer, and Cain went right out and did what?
Built a city. And named it after himself.
His own purpose. You take your body, if God says the body is not for what?
For
Fornication. Because that the very act, he originated it, and it meant something. It means something. Something sacred. You know, people say that. They say marriage is a sacred institution not to be rushed into. I don't think they really know how sacred it is.
Something they say.
It's just something they say. But you think about what God had originated, and for us to take that process and devalue it, it's the ultimate apostasy, but it's at the very core of what God wants to do. And if I could take you and you and you and you, where is the exclusivity there? Where is the value? Where is the value?
It's not there.
You can't have a personal relationship with multiple people.
You can. There's no way.
It's one person.
There's no way it could be union. A union. There's no way you can feel. You know what, Rebecca? When they begin having that childbearing war in Genesis, and she was in the lead, and she had three sons, like three to their one, and she said, "This time." Look at this verse. Look, Genesis 29. Very, very interesting term she uses. 29:30. This is after Laban tricks Jacob. You know, Jacob served for Leah, and then he goes in and he finds out he serves for Rachel, and he goes in and finds out it's Leah. And verse 30, he says. And he went in also, just after he serves another 7 years, and he went in also unto Rachel. And he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Now, you know what? You think about that. What has God got to do with pregnancies? Did you ever notice that throughout Scripture? Where I'm not saying this in a bad way, but I'm saying it for you to think about it is, what's he doing fooling with the pregnancy process? What does he have invested in that?
His purpose,
and it's kind of like a reward or not a reward.
Do you notice he told Israel, if they were on his side, he says, I'll increase the fruit of your womb, but if you don't work with me, they won't be fruitful. Do you see, he's right back to the very beginning.
Because mm-hmm. Back then, I mean, having kids meant more than like they do now, you know.
I'm trying to get the big picture here is, it's what he originated. For his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you can look how far we've gone and devalued the process. Mm-hmm. Not just the people involved, but the process itself.
Sure.
That's our sin nature. Paul calls it lasciviousness. All types. We're a long way off. He says, and Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard and that I was hated, He hath therefore given me a son also, and she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband, what? Be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Now, you know what? That joined is the same thing that the Lord said in Genesis. To be cleaved to your wife is to be joined, united, glued, to be one flesh. But what she didn't know, that it wouldn't be possible, would it? Because he already has what? Right. And three other women, two other women. And what happened? When you go through there, what happened? It didn't happen. now, Blake said something that about early on. It meant more to them than the pregnancy process. They relied on God then, because they knew that it was God who had something invested. You remember when Pharaoh said, I want all the male childs killed. Mm-hmm. And when it's going through, and it was the man of Levi took a wife out of Levi, who was Moses' parents, and they said, and they saw that the child was goodly. Well, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that all the other Hebrews thought their children were ugly or not goodly? Hello?
Yeah.
Why did the scripture point that out, that this child was goodly? And they hid him 3 months.
Well, he's obviously chosen.
Yeah.
That's right. Purpose. Whose purpose? Hey, I'm getting way off the track here. Let's go back to Corinthians. But you can see where he's talking about the value of your bodies, and the process itself is to mirror something, to mirror what God is doing with us and through us. He says, what? Back to 18 again. I know we talked about this last week, but we talk about the Romans when they left their natural use. Mm-hmm. Women are exclusively for who?
Men.
For men. And men are exclusively for women. And when you see the process, that's why God has a name for it.
Abomination.
That's what he said. It's an abomination. When he said that, do you remember this in Genesis, where Pharaoh said, take your animals and you go and worship over here. You don't have to leave. You don't have to leave the land. He said, how can we take what is an abomination to you and offer to our Lord? Why did he say it was abomination to the Egyptians? Those are all rhetorical questions. He said it's an abomination to the Egyptians because they worshipped cattle. So when you go against what God has ordained, he said, that is what? It's an abomination. How can we take something that God worships or elevates to a holy status, and how can we take that and deface it or devalue it? We've done a pretty good job of it, haven't we? So he says, verse 18, he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. The very purpose of it. You're fighting your own purpose. You put a hole in your own bucket. Now, Karen, when Karen talked about Onan, when God told Onan, he says the line was stopping at Onan. He said, you go in to your brother's wife and raise up seed. Raise up seed. Keep going. And Onan, the scripture said that Onan went in and he did what the Pope is telling us to do today.
Because it means the birth control.
And Onan spilled his seed because he knew that the child would not be his. That's selfish. It was his process. God said, do this. Onan said, oh no. And God took care of him. You know what he did? He slew him. Wait a minute. What's God getting in? What's he doing? Why is he fooling with these pregnancies? Okay, he says, and sinned against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is yours to do whatsoever you like?
Nope.
It's what? Temple. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in the building.
In you.
Which ye have of God, and ye are not
your own.
That's a big what. That's a 2015 what. Don't you know there's a lot of believers that still don't know that their body does not belong to them?
Yeah.
Most believers. Most believers don't. They don't know that, do they? And you've been entrusted with this. You've been entrusted with that wreck. Can you believe that? God says, you know what? I can even use that. Because I'm in there. He says, you give it to me, and I'll do what? I'll take care of it. Leave the driving to me. He says, I'll take care of that. Isn't that something? He says, you are not your what? Do we don't hear that today, do we?
Look at the cries and the abortions.
If it's two consenting adults, they can do what they choose what? With their bodies. Now, we can leave that to the sinners, to the unbelievers. Paul saying, I'm not talking about them out there. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you believers. Did you know that it didn't belong to you? Did you know that it didn't belong to you? For ye are bought with a price. What price would that be?
Blood price.
Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So do you belong to him?
Yes.
Now that's grace. Where he bought you clear and free, got the receipt. And you know it. Well, now you know it. That he bought you. And then he turns around and says, I think Ed said this Sunday. He said, you can't give God something to that equivalent. You can't give anything to him. You can't give it back. You can't give him back the gift. And as soon as he said that, you know what I thought about? You can give them a gift. What? How do you know that? How do you know that? Give me the verse.
Romans 12.
He says, you know, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you. What?
That you present your body.
Present.
Yeah.
You present your body.
Mm-hmm. Holy sacrifice.
Here you are.
Holy sacrifice.
That's a re-gift. I gave it to you.
Yeah.
You give it back to me.
Reason.
Which, is that a re-gift?
Yeah.
Present. Present. Present.
Yeah.
You give it to it if you want to.
Yeah, by choice.
Is that grace?
Yeah.
He says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And he closes that part out. And then he picks up some things that they were asking about. But since it's chapter 7, maybe we should tarry a little bit here. So we can get a nice fresh start, right, in chapter 7? Was that all right?
Yeah,
okay.
That's a lot of good stuff tonight. Mm-hmm.
But when he talks about your body being the temple of the Holy Ghost, and that's individually and yet corporately,
yeah.
Where every one of us, we have the same, I don't know if it was Blake, or it says, how do you be filled with the Spirit? I think we were talking about that, is because you've got all of Him that you can get. Did you know that? There's no degrees of, when you get the Holy Spirit, all of us have the same Holy Spirit in us.
3% now, but I want 90%. I'm working on that
90%. So you know what? You got 100% of Him.
Yeah.
You've got 100% of Him. And every time you see that terminology, filled with the Spirit, you will always see somewhere in there, this is going to be connected to that process. The Word is going to be somewhere in there.
Yeah. Don't they sometimes maybe get confused when it just says renewed by the...
That's renewed by the Holy Spirit?
Yeah. I just like how some people think that, you know, you might not have as much at certain times.
Oh, right,
I wonder if they think that that's where they get just that terminology.
They very well could think that.
Yeah.
But when your spirit was dead... That's why he talks about Ephesians, and you hath he quickened, mm-hmm. who were dead in trespasses and sins. He quickened that. You didn't have the apparatus for God to even communicate with.
That's why the natural man can't understand the thing.
He can't what?
They're spiritually discerned.
But now
he didn't have the translator in him.
He didn't have he didn't have it. And after he does become renewed his spirit, then he has the ability to do what?
Appropriate.
To communicate that. That's another eight.
Yeah.
He has to. So you can never say, you remember that it was a verse in Samuel where the Lord told Saul, he said, you go up to this place, and when you go up to this place, you talk to these people. And he opened his mouth and he began to prophesy. And the Lord said, you will become as a new man. You remember that? I don't know where it is. So let me see if I can locate that. Just 1 Samuel. He changed his nature. That's what you got. That's what we got, huh? See. What's that?
Verse 10.
Verse 10?
Is it
First Samuel 10. That's it. That's it. First Samuel 10. He says, let's go, let's just look at verse 5, just for, since it's here. He says, after that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets, coming down from the high place, with a psaltery, and a tabret, and a pipe, and a harp, before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be what?
Turn
into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. That's 10, 1 Samuel 10. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. And you know what the people, they knew Saul. And you know what they asked? They said, what is this? We know that guy. What's going on?
Who are you? Paul, I know.
Look, when you get saved, when you trust Christ, that's what happens to you on this somewhat like this scale. You have a renewed spirit. The new man. And it's able to, for God can use you, God can relate to you, God can translate to you, like Jenny said. And you are what? He didn't say you're like another man, you are a new creature. And you get all the Holy Spirit that there is to get. You know what they said about the Lord? They said they giveth him not the Spirit by measure. You didn't either. Now the question is not how much of the Spirit do you have. How much
appropriate.
How much does he have you?
Yes.
He said, be filled with the Spirit. That doesn't mean like you, the volume. Watch this. Acts chapter 2. Let's see. Chapter 2, verse 1. We might hit that verse. We might hit 17. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they're filled with the Spirit, and the first thing they start to do is what? Run around the room.
Speak.
They did what? They begin to what? Speak. As the Spirit gave them utterance. And he said other tongues, and then he goes and gives you all these nations that the people there. So it wasn't gibberish that they didn't understand. And this is he said this. Look at verse 11. He goes on. He says verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? So they're still wondering, like, what are these people doing? Speaking in what? In our language. So the emphasis on what? They were filled and they did what? They were speaking. Okay. Verse 11. He goes on. He talks about the different nationalities. Cretes. Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues. Oh. What?
The wonderful
what? Works of God.
That's it.
What does yours say?
No, it says work.
What does yours say?
Works.
What does it say?
It says works.
The wonderful.
Mine says works.
That's what it said. The wonderful works of God. It doesn't say of God. It just says wonderful works.
The wonderful works of God. I thought.
That's what mine says.
Never mind. We have a failure to communicate. It's okay.
Okay. All right. All right. Now, just we'll use one verse. We'll close this out. Ephesians. Matter of fact, two verses. Colossians and then Ephesians. Colossians chapter 2:3, that is. Colossians 3, Ephesians 5. Right. Yep, Colossians 3, Ephesians 5. Now, I have five. I'm going to quote this. And he says, wherefore, he says in verse Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. Am I going too fast?
You said five what?
Ephesians 5:14. He says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He's talking to believers. He says, arise from the dead. I wonder what the dead are. He doesn't mean that they're dead, physically dead, do they?
Dead in sin.
Not even dead in sins, because he's talking to believers. They're wasting their time.
Wasting that indwelling.
Wasting that indwelling. He says, awake thou that sleepeth and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, because the days are evil, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with
the Spirit.
He didn't say by the Spirit. He said be filled what?
With
the Spirit. Next verse. Be influenced by him. First thing he says is what? Next verse. Be filled. How do I know? He says, first thing he says is what? Speaking. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you know what? They didn't have a complete revelation then, but the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, they were based on scripture, not like we sing today. And then he says, you speaking to yourselves, you know, giving the word to each other. And then he starts talking about the next things is what? Well, we just spent the How you handle what? Oh, I erased it. How you handle? What'd you say? Yeah, he said this: singing, make melody in your heart, giving thanks always for God for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he goes right into this: submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, wives. He says, submit yourselves unto your own husbands
as unto the Lord.
Wait a minute. Husband is the head, and et cetera. He goes on and he talks about the husband loving the wife. Then he talks about the children, and he goes out. But you notice he's got individual, how you respond to the word, how you utilize the word, and then how the word is manifested in you or through you. Colossians. Then we'll stop there. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 14.
Sure hope this is recorded.
I'm sure it is.
No, I really want to hear it several more times.
He says, for 14, and above all, he gives this whole list of things that he's looking for them as believers to display. And then he says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And then, even in Colossians, he goes right into what? Right into that relationship. Isn't that something? But he said this, in here, being filled with the Spirit, this is synonymous with Ephesians. He said this, being filled with the Spirit is this, letting the word of Christ do what?
Dwell in you.
Dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. And then you have responsibility. If it's dwelling in you richly, you'll do what? You'll be teaching and sharing it, admonishing one another, etc., etc. Dwell in you richly. Not let the Holy Spirit dwell in you richly, because he's there. He said, let the what?
Word.
The word of Christ dwell in you richly. How could you do that?
Knowledge.
All that. You got to get it in there.
Well, like you talked about last week with the division in Leviticus, we got to chew it.
Chew the cud. And it's that. That's what the, you know what Paul said to Timothy? That's what Paul said to Timothy. He said those things. Meditate. He said, meditate upon these things, and give thyself wholly to them. When you go home, through the week, just meditate on these things. That's what we should do, right? Mm-hmm. To meditate on them, that our profiting would appear. They'll see that. They'll say, you know what? The word of Christ is dwelling richly. Because if it's in there, guess where it's going? It's coming out. That's the goal. That's the aim. Okay.